Yo, what's up? This is Aaron, and this is Meet My Mates. This is episode 2, and I have the special pleasure of chilling with one of my inspirations, one of the goats for me in my dance career, Hadley Poissy.
Hey, what's welcome, man. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
Special. This is special.
It is. You're my first guest. So
sad to Sheldon.
No, hey, he was supposed to be here. Unfortunately, we don't have Sheldon today, but we're gonna make this happen. So yeah, I've known Hed for years. He began dance for me. He took me to the Prestige audition all the way back in 2009.
Isn't that long ago, bro?
So it's been wow. A minute, bro. OG of Sweet and Sour, and now founder of Freshman's Dance Crew, bro. Tell me about your first experience of dance.
First experience, man, I was in high school. Bring It On dance. Dance competition back when that was massive, like that took over everything. And I remember sitting, this is 2003, this is a long time ago. People listening to this, there's some people that weren't even born in 2003.
I was an intermediate.
Oh, so I remember watching the Bring It On crew would do like a guest performance at Assembly, and I saw it. I was like, wow, that's awesome. That's so cool. But I'll never do it because I'm a rugby league player. And 2004 came along, and the same kind of thing. I was like, oh, I'd never do it. And then it came to my last year in high school, and I was like, you know what? No regrets. Let's give it a go.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to kind of get the hang of it. And massive thanks to Matt Gavitt and Fale McCarthy from Blaze from back in the days. They really took me under their wing.
Right.
From there, at the end, I thought that would be it. But ended up having a failed rugby league career.
Unfortunately.
And I ended up at Excel School of Performing Arts,
cool,
where I picked dancing back up.
Yeah.
After I finished from there, I got a message on Bebo. Ooh. Got a message on Bebo to ask if I wanted to join a dance crew called Sweet and Sour. And everything kind of blew up from there.
Mean.
But yeah, got to give mad props to Bring It On, because they started a lot of people's careers, man. Yeah. They started the dream, they started the passion. And unfortunately, you know, it ended quite controversially, which we won't go into here. But it started a lot for a lot of young people.
That's awesome. Tell us about the early days of Sweet and Sour and how you guys like got together.
Man, actually, you know, as I said, I got the message on Bebo from a brother called Leon, and at first I said no. This is going back a bit, so I have to jog my memory. So sorry if any of the SAS guys are listening and I say something wrong, you can just blow me up in the comments. But I got a message from Leon, and I said no. I thought it was a little bit funny, and I showed my dance mentor, Matt Gavitt. I was like, these guys want me to join this dance crew. It's called Sweet and Sour. And he gave me the most serious look ever, and he said, I really think you should do it. Kind of took me back a little bit, and so I signed up. I said, yes, let's do it. Back then, the only dance crews that were around were Blaze and Desire and O2.
Right.
So being a part of a dance crew was a big thing. So we did it. Our first couple of practices was just going to one of our boys, his name's Fender, going to his house and eating. Just eating and watching YouTube over dial-up. You know, and it just grew and grew and grew. And then we saw that there were some other dance crews in our generation from other parts of Auckland. I'm talking Funky Monkeys. I'm talking Request Dance Crew.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think we just all learnt trial by error, you know. None of us knew how to travel. None of us knew how to put mixes together at that time. No one knew how to choreograph.
Yeah.
We just looked at the people either on the internet or Desire and Blaze and said, okay, well, how are they doing it? Let's copy them.
Sick. So how was it being, obviously, one of the kind of originators of a West Auckland dance crew? And how did that portray within your dance or compared to South Auckland dancers and dance crews?
Yeah, man. I think there's always been this... I guess, for lack of a better word, rivalry, South Auckland, West Auckland. I feel that the creativity, and I know that I might get murdered for this, but the creativity was strong in West.
Right.
The energy was strong out South. So we had to come up with stuff, you know, to match what they could bring on the stage.
Because
they could make anything look amazing.
Yeah,
Because of their presence and their aura. And back then, you know, there was Heavenly Chaos back then.
HK.
They turned into LB, Limit Break, Track One. They were around as well. And they took us to school a couple of times. Like,
true.
Track One, we lost a lot to Track One. We lost a lot to Track One more than we lost to Request. I'll tell you that, man. mad love for all the West Auckland guys, and it's awesome to see Donovan, who's you know, he was the leader for Limit Break, and he's still going.
Yeah.
I catch up with the Latu sisters from Track One, and they're still going hard as well. So cool. It's cool to see that the passion hasn't died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Massive. Yeah. So tell us about, you know, the year of the gold medal. You know, the first year, or the year you went to Worlds, and even just the build up from, you know, regionals, nationals, and coming back from Worlds with a gold medal. Like, tell us about that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's huge. It was huge, and it's still one of my biggest achievements to this day. But I guess the preparation for it started a year prior. 2007 was New Zealand's first national championships.
Yep.
We decided to not do that one. We decided to take a step back and really focus on the national competitions.
Yep.
So back then there was Stomp. Stomp was our first competition that we entered. There was Groove. There was Tear It Up. And doing well in those qualified us for Battlegrounds. So we went over to Battlegrounds. That was in Melbourne. That was our first international. And for most of our guys, it was the first time they've been on a plane, first time they've been out of Auckland.
That's like, wicked,
it was massive. Yeah. But a dance can really take you places. Yeah,
for sure.
And so we went over there. We did okay. You know, we got a standing ovation and stuff. We didn't place. I think we came fourth equal, fifth, something like that. But it kind of instilled something in us like, hey, if we can do well in Melbourne,
right,
we can do well anywhere. So we just trained, man. We trained and we had other crews to keep us on top. That's or, cool. You know, not keep us on top, but iron sharpens iron. Yeah. Mm. So Request.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Request. In 2007, they were the biggest thing. Like, they were so dope.
Yeah.
We had an interesting relationship with Desire at that time.
Yeah.
we had kind of come under the Desire umbrella for a little bit. And then it was, I guess this behind the curtains, we got pitched to be the next Desire,
right?
Or Desire 2.0. And we that didn't fit right with us, especially because we all respected Desire, for Alistair, sure. Schwa, Billy, all of them. So we decided now we're just going to stick to our guns, but Desire 2.0, the crew still came about with Willis and Chardy back then, man. And all the boys, Anisi. So, you know, those guys were all keeping us sharp. Fusion was massive back then. Supremacy. So there was all of these crews and Fearless.
Fearless.
Everyone was keeping each other sharp. Yeah. The varsity division that year was ridiculous. Crazy. And I remember when it came to nationals, finding out who was going to qualify to the world championships.
Yeah.
Back then, the Auckland championships was the night before nationals.
Yeah, that's right.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. So, you know, most of the crews made it through to nationals. And on that night, they were announcing first, second, and third. And I hope no one gets butt hurt by this. But I think they said in third place. And there's us, there's Fearless, there's Request, and there's 2.0.
Right.
And we're all sitting there. And they go, in third place, hopefully I get this right, in third place is Limit Break.
Yeah.
And no one was thinking Limit Break was even in the top. Right. You know? And we're like, wow. And then they go, in second place, Supremacy. And Supremacy from Hamilton is like, bro, we've got four teams. Any of these four teams could take it out. And yeah, we were lucky enough to come away with the win on that. And I think that Nationals footage is still one of our most viewed.
That's crazy.
It still goes around. I still hear the mixes now and then at comps. So from there, sorry, this is a long-winded question. Hey. But from there, obviously, you get given the task to raise $50,000. Because back then it's
a lot of money.
Man, it was a crap load of money.
Yeah.
And for us, you know, we're not rich. No. I mean, like, you mentioned it in your first podcast, but we literally trained at St. Leonard's Primary.
Yeah.
We used the reflection from the windows as our mirrors. St. Leonard's they had a power outlet outside one of the buildings, so we'd plug in, would carry our boombox everywhere we went. Our flips gym was the grass or the sand pit if we were not lazy enough to walk to the other side of the field. And this was normal. We never complained because no one else had a dance studio. Yeah. No one, even Paris didn't have a dance studio. Yeah. I think she trained at David Tour's gym.
Oh, true.
In Onehunga.
Yeah.
But that was just normal. But to think of some people without a company, because companies didn't exist back then, without a studio, without any means, trying to find $50,000, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's to people, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Like now these days, it's like, I need a a company. I need support. I need something bigger in order to get there.
For real. And I mean, like, everyone goes through hard times, but we had a seriously hard time getting ready. I know one of our boys, he got stabbed. Like, one of our boys, Adam, he got stabbed on the journey between, you know, nationals and worlds. I know Fender has, all respect to him, his grandma passed away in the build-up. Like, everyone was going through a ton of crap, and it was just like, you know what, we're going through all of this stuff. We have to make it worth it. It got to the point, I think we were 3 weeks out, and I don't think we've actually told this story to anybody, but we were 3 weeks out from going, and we didn't have the money. We got this random call from somebody, and they said, hey, I applied for some funding for you guys, and we got 30 grand.
What?
We're like, wow, what? Like, $30,000? And they're like, yeah. Sorry I didn't run it by you, but yeah, there's $30,000 here. Such a blessing.
Hey,
such a blessing.
So, that's crazy.
Everything just lined up, and we ended up going over to Las Vegas at that time, and... I mean, still hoary as. Like, we walked into the world champs and people looked at us and they thought we were a rugby team because we're quite bigger. We're a little bit bigger than most dancers. And our trainings, this is a funny story. So we wanted to do fitness trainings, but obviously we don't, you know, have a gym or anything. Yeah. So just like, hey, we'll do it like home. We'll go for a run. You can't run in Vegas, man. You can barely walk in Vegas. It's too hot. So I was like, nah, man, you know, we're hard. We're from Kelston. So we go outside and we're like, we're going to run this way. We're going to run to the other end of the strip. The boys are like, yeah, man, let's go. 30 minutes later, we're still running. Turns to 45, turns to an hour. And they're like, bro, there's no more hotels. Like, I'm like, nah. The map says this way. Because there's no GPS back then either. I end up running the crew out of Nevada. What? We ran past the Nevada sign. We left the state. We're running in the desert. I'm like, sorry, boys, man.
And now we have to run
back. These people, like, passing out and bleeding noses, man. So we end up running, like, the other... We wake up, we're like, okay, we know which way to go this time. So we're going to run to the other end of the strip. We run to... anyone who's been to Vegas, we're at Excalibur, and we ran down to Circus, which is the length of the strip. And we see other crews, and they're like at the buffets and they're chilling at the pool. And we're like, you know what, this is, we're here to win. You know, and I've talked to Donovan, because we saw Donovan, you know, he's waking up and we're running, and he says, you know, when I saw that, he knew. We just knew that we couldn't come back empty-handed.
Right.
We knew that we couldn't come back empty-handed for everybody that believed in us, for everything that we had gone through to get there. And we pushed ourselves to unbelievable limits.
That's crazy.
Unbelievable limits. And we're able to walk away with the gold.
Yeah. How was the competition? Was that your first time at Worlds?
Yes.
So how was that? How did that differ from, you know, competition in New Zealand to now competing against the best in the world?
I'll be honest, it prepared us.
Yeah.
It prepared us. Because when you go to Battlegrounds, there's no varsity, or, you know, there's a junior division and there's open division. Yeah. So we're used to going up against adults.
Right.
The scene here, the varsity scene here in 2008, probably the best year of varsity dancing in general. Yeah. Like, I'll put my line in the sand and go, that was the best that New Zealand has ever been. Maybe 2010, that was a pretty good year too.
Yeah.
And so all of that prepared us for what we were about to get at Worlds. And we went there with a high expectation. And to be honest, the varsity division that year at Worlds, we were well prepared.
Right.
We were well prepared. And I think after our first round, it was a bit of a settling. And it was like, okay, Japan might give us a run for our money. But other than that, we've prepared.
Yeah.
We've prepared to win. It was hard still, you know, we still trained our butts off. We were lucky not to be in the adults division, because that year Philippine All-Stars came with what I say is the best ever.
Stats. It was wild.
That was crazy. Yeah. So I'm glad that we weren't in the adult division. But yeah, it was good to see where the level was at, and it was a good indication that New Zealand was on a good line of progression.
Yeah.
And I think that's shown in the years since, you know, there's never been a year that we haven't medaled other than this year, of course.
So, like, you won gold. What was life like when you got home? Like, you know, this is the first time New Zealand's won gold.
Yeah.
Gold medal.
Yeah.
And, man, I remember you guys, you had, like, like the news come and interviews at the airport and stuff. And like, how was life like after, you know, after that? Like, did things get more exciting or did, you know, life go back to normal? Like, we all know that, you know, it's exciting overseas, but, you know, you come home, like, life goes on. Like, how did that?
Bro, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. We got home and there was a press conference. There was amazing, like, the media was waiting at the airport for us. And what was good for us is that after the competition, we actually went and had a holiday for about a week.
Mm.
And we mentally prepared ourselves for the media storm that we'd go into. And I think without that, we would have been taken by surprise.
Yeah.
So we came back and we got thrusted into the media. We got a lot of big gigs. We got to travel a lot.
Yeah.
Not to the extent of what like Paris and them and Identity do this year, but you got to go back. It was a different time.
Yeah,
it was a different time back then. So for us to be able to go anywhere was a big thing. So it was a blessing. And I talk to all of the teams that go over to the World Championships because I try and prepare them that the ride that you're on stops at a certain point. And so it's not preparing for the stop, but enjoying the process. Right, and Alistair from Prestige, he's massive on...
We live by that.
Yeah, you got to enjoy the process because before you know it, the process is over.
Mm.
And you look back and you go, wow, what...
I don't remember.
I haven't remembered anything, you know? So I think from... I took it for granted. I definitely took it for granted. Ego got a bit inflated, as it does.
As it does, yeah.
And when it was our time to, you know, to go back over to the World Championships, we took it a lot lighter.
Yeah.
Took it a hell of a lot lighter. We still placed pretty well, but, you know, it's hard to re-find that passion to go for that number one because it almost killed us, bro.
Right.
Like, it almost destroyed us.
Yeah.
And so I give it up for, like, crews like the brothers.
Mm.
Oh my gosh, being able to do it back to back.
Yeah.
Back to back in adults. Wow. Yeah. I give it up for Paris. Like, it's hard to be consistent. It's hard to consistently produce fire.
Yeah.
And so I give it up to those two because they've been able to really break the wheel on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sick. So how from the ending of Sweet and Sour to where you're at now? Freshman's dance crew.
Yeah.
Tell me about that, that process and where, how you are, to, like, where you are now.
Yeah. Man, I tell you what, bro, it is hard. Yeah. It is hard because it was basically a full reset.
Yeah.
It was full start at the bottom.
Yeah.
And by that time, I mean, Sweet and Sour finished up in about 2010, and I took 2 years to kind of just chill, and then I came back and started Fresh Movement, which is now Fresh Movement dance crew. And in that 2 years, Periscope blew up.
Mm-hmm.
And Identity Dance Crew finally, I think they went 4 years of not placing at nationals, and then they found their formula, found their niche.
Definitely.
And so in those 2 years, it was like we went from, and I say we because even though Sweet and Sour finished, us as individuals, you know, we're still fairly active.
Yeah.
It just changed.
Yeah.
Paris Goebel was taking over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Cezanne was really coming through as the next Cezanne brother, you know? And so it was tough starting again, and it's taken a lot longer because now we've got an actual industry now.
Yeah.
You know, we're not just playing tiddlywinks with this stuff.
Yeah.
But for me, the reason why I really wanted to start was because, even though I was taking two years off or a lot of time off, I was still getting calls.
Yeah.
I was still getting calls like, hey, can you provide a gig or can you provide a performance for this, and this? And I'm like, instead of me giving these away, like, why not start a platform for people to just to take these gigs?
Yeah.
And so that was one of the reasons. Number two, we had gone to Worlds. I think we went to the World Champs 3 times and I coached a couple of teams and went over with them as well.
Yeah.
And it just became boring to me.
Right.
It became boring. Because once you win it, then what?
Yeah.
You win it again.
What's the next step?
Or, you know, I give it up to the people who are consistent and can continually bring fire every single time.
Yeah.
But for me, I just got drained. I was like, why am I putting all my time, energy, and creativity into this competition where I could be doing something else. So I really wanted to explore theatre more. I wanted to explore storytelling through movement, and that's where Freshmans was born. Yeah. So that's what we do now. We create shows. We still gig. We gig a lot, and I'll put it down that I think we gig more than any other crew. We've got... Because we do the community stuff. Yeah, like, we do crazy community gigs. Yeah. Like, we did Putaradu on Saturday. Raced over to Rotorua and did like 3 classes and a performance in Rotorua to come back up and run a camp on the Friday night before we left and the Sunday when we came back. Like, we just love performing.
Yeah.
So we still do that, but also our main drive is that we want to get out there and build shows.
Yeah.
We want to... I say this all the time, and hopefully people hearing this can take it in the right context, but Disney and Cirque du Soleil and UFC and WWE and all of this stuff, they had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
They had to start somewhere. So why can't something for dance start in New Zealand?
For sure.
Why can't it start in a garage? Why can't it start in a youth centre?
Yeah.
I've got mad work ethic, and I've got mad drive, and I've got mad vision to see that come true.
Mm.
Not for me. I say it all the time. I'm not going to be able to see the fruits of what we're working for.
Yeah.
And I tell that to our crew. But if we do it right, then we should be able to open a pathway for dancers in the future to explore.
Yeah.
And the same way that Sweet and Sour and all of those crews from back in the day opened the door for HHI.
Yeah.
You know? So hopefully we're able to, in our time, while we're here, while we're around, we're able to open up another door.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're around to see it.
Yeah. I'm sure we will be. I hope so.
Man. I'm getting old, man.
So what are your thoughts on this generation of dancers? Obviously, you know, you came from like nothing, you know, like you were saying, I'll reiterate, you danced on like at a primary school, you know, that was your studio, no mirrors, windows. Mm. Like, what do you think about this generation who, you know, are lucky enough to have studios, to have companies, the opportunity to just, you know, join a crew and be able to compete. What is it, do you reckon, they take for granted that you kind of want to make more aware of them to, I guess, hone in on and learn from?
Mm. Firstly, because a lot of people, especially OG dancers and choreographers, you know, they come up to me and they say those words, they say take for granted. I don't know if it's taken for granted. I think it's that they don't understand that there was another way that existed.
Yeah.
And that's a credit to the work that we put in. You know, we wanted to start an industry and it started.
Yeah.
I guess with a, how would I put it? We're definitely dealing with, maybe an entitled generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got a generation of dancers that that see what they want, and the path there is clear on how to get there.
Right.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's a tough one because in my mind, knowing what we went through and looking at what people are going through, and I'm not saying this from a point of view that is uneducated because I'm still in the dance scene, so I can see what dancers are like now.
Yeah.
I think they lose a lot of the process.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're any less hard workers.
Yeah.
They just lose a lot of those key memories. Like so many of my memories are going to be us traveling down from Auckland to Wellington.
Yeah.
In a 7-seater van, and there's 10 of us because we want to go down and do a $200 gig.
Yeah.
You know, a gig that won't even make us money because we have to hire the van. And I think that those opportunities, they don't really arise anymore. Yeah. You know, we definitely have a dance industry now. Mm. So everything is, you know, there's a business plan for every move that we do.
Yeah.
So I feel for the dancers these days because they won't get that experience.
Yeah.
I feel for dancers these days because stage time is quite rare.
Right.
Because companies don't take as many gigs.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll be the first person to put my hand up and go, you know, if you disagree with that, then send me your schedule and I'll send you mine.
Like,
because we're one of the only dance crews. I think the only dance crew at the moment is us and Prestige.
Yeah.
I think everyone else is run by companies.
True.
And so it does. It lessens the amount of experiences that you can have.
Yeah.
I feel that I see a lot of the HHI stuff, and you know, I don't know, eh? I don't know. I'm at the end of the day, I feel that sometimes we just need to sit back and go, we're dancing, guys. Mm. We're dancing. We're not the presidents of the United States, and the world isn't going to end with a dance competition. At the end of the day, we're dancing. And why do we dance? Because it's fun.
Yeah.
And if you've lost the fun, then you need to find that before you do anything else.
Yeah.
I think people just take it a little bit too seriously these days.
That's what I kind of taken from it. It's a lot of dancers these days, or I feel like something like HHI or a competition is the be all end all of their dance careers, or their, it kind of ranks them in like how good of a dancer they are. Yeah. You know, like if they don't place, then they're not good dancers.
Yeah.
Like I feel like there needs to be more, I guess like. What's the word, like, not, like, reaffirmation, or, like, like, you know, like, just, like, there needs to be someone, or, like, if you're a part of a company, those people need to tell them, like, hey, we're going to enter a competition, but regardless of how we place, like, you're still great dancers, and this is still going to continue.
Yeah, for real, man. You know what I mean? There's a couple of things, eh? There's number one, number one, there's not enough opportunities to fail, so we don't learn how to lose.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're going into competitions where there's hundreds upon hundreds of dance crews, and only one of those crews can be a winner.
Yeah.
I hate to say back in the day, but back in the day, there used to be a competition every week.
Yeah.
And so you win some, you lose some, and you understood that.
Yeah.
These days, you know, there's one comp.
Yeah.
There's one comp that everyone puts their world into. And when it doesn't turn out the way that you want it, we don't know how to handle that, you know?
And then there's a whole year of sitting in there until the next time you're able to compete again.
For real, man. Yeah. For real. The other thing, I just want to, I guess, clear something up. I've been in that position where I've lost worlds, you know? And I didn't handle it right.
Yeah.
You know, I've had week-long benders of, you know, just hitting the drinks and thinking that the world was crap.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how to handle it right. So all the words that I'm saying, I understand where dancers are coming from, and I understand frustration.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm talking from a point of hindsight.
Right.
You know, I look back on it and go, man, you know what? You didn't need to do that.
Mm.
You didn't need to beat yourself up over that, because at the end of the day, there's always next time.
Yeah.
Pick yourself up, get better, get stronger, and go again.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think we take things too seriously sometimes. And, I mean, you can't take the world championships lightly.
Yeah.
No doubt. But, yeah, we got to teach our kids how to look for the good stuff.
Right.
Otherwise, we're just going to focus on the bad.
Yeah, for sure. So tell me about, like, what's happening with you, what's happening with Freshman's Dance Crew? What do you see for the future of not only yourself in the dance scene, or but as well as your crew and like the scene in general?
Man, I've been saying for a while, you know, I wanna fade out in terms of being on stage. I don't get the same kind of buzz performing anymore.
Yeah.
And that's just being really, really blunt. And that's not an announcement. Anyone who's talked to me,
yeah.
I just say, you know, I get a buzz out of creating.
Yeah.
I get a buzz out of creating shows. I get a buzz out of organizing stuff.
Yeah.
My buzz comes from lighting plans and music scores and trying to make an idea come to reality. So with Freshmans, it's trying to set up as many opportunities for these guys as possible.
Yeah.
Because that's where I get my buzz.
Cool.
We're heading over to the States in about 2 months for no competition. We've been asked to go over. We originally got asked to go over and do the Pacific Dance Festival, which is a massive blessing. We've been asked to go over and guest perform at World of Dance. We're just trying to open up more pathways that aren't competition based. Yeah. And there is a time and place for competition. We did nationals this year, and we loved it. We enjoyed it. But yeah, it's not our be all and end all.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, I'm just going to keep on doing what we do with Freshman's Dance Crew, keep on creating dope stuff, keep on creating pathways. One of our new pathways is Battle Zone, which is going down. I don't know if this is going to be out by then, but the 25th of August, Friday.
This Friday.
Tickets from eventfinder.co.nz. Make sure that you go and grab yours today. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's Battle Zone behind all the glitz and glamour, Battlezone is an idea to give money to dancers.
Yeah.
Our battlers are coming in, they're getting paid.
Cool.
You know? And I'm not dogging any battle competition so far, but any competition, you have to pay to be a part of the competition. Yeah. At the end of the day, we are the entertainment. The dancers are the entertainment.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go to Beyonce and say, "Hey Beyonce, you gotta pay me to perform in my show." That doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
dancers continually, what's the battle fee? Like what's the fee to join? How much do I have to pay?
Yeah.
And people are making money off the entertainment.
Yeah.
We should be making money off ticket sales. For sure. Should be making, like, we gotta, you get me passionate about these things, man. Because I'm a dancer.
Get passionate,
I'm a dancer, and I've seen a lot of dancers get used over the time, you know? And I know people, you know, they see this thing and they see money and they get afraid of it.
Mm.
Don't be afraid of it, because if there's more money circulating in our industry, the better we are as an industry.
Right.
What I did notice was that we would, you know, I'd do a show, and then Desire would do a show, and Prestige would do a show, and it just ends up being these $20 shows that everyone goes to, so we're just passing our $20 around to each other. Well, let's try and broaden our dance space. Let's try and broaden our audience.
Yeah.
How can we broaden that? Well, a battle was easy to watch. A battle was like, I'm going to come in. Yo, I like that guy. Judges, who's winning? Yeah. 3-2-1. They point at the winner. It's easy to follow.
Yeah.
So I go to, I find that something like that could potentially be something that someone after work on a Friday can just come along and enjoy. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
And I think we focus so much on competition that we forget about the entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's be entertaining. Let's try and get our art form up there with music and drama and make the money that music and drama is making.
Yeah.
And I know people hear me talk about this and they say, man, you're crazy. Man, I say Vince McMahon was crazy, and he made guys fake fighting in their underwear a worldwide multi-billion dollar organization with the WWE, talking pictures, like, people thought Walt Disney was crazy, and now Disneyland, Disney World, bloody Lion King, like, all of these things, it has to start somewhere, so why not start here in New Zealand?
Yeah, and I think it's cool too, is your point on, you know, it's entertainment, you know, it doesn't, something like a battle doesn't necessarily just have to be for dancers, you know,
Man.
A person who has no idea what, like, never watched a dance, whatever, in their entire life, they can come along and just be entertained.
For real.
You know what I mean? I think that's awesome.
For real.
It's
developing our audience. We need to develop our audience because all of our audience has become participants.
Yeah.
Everyone that is, who was in the audience and were fans, they're now a part of a dance company. So we need to develop our audience more.
Yeah.
And whether that's through younger kids or older adults, at the end of the day, we need to perform to somebody. Yeah. So we need to keep on growing that audience.
But then it ends up just being like us all just watching each other. And then there's nothing outside of that.
For real. And we create magic, man.
Yeah.
We create so much magic. Not us freshmen, but us as dancers.
Yeah.
We create moments that no one sees.
Nah.
Because our audience isn't there anymore.
Yeah. That's sick.
Yeah.
Finishing off, I want to know about your inspirations. The people who within the dance scene that gave you your spark, that gave you that drive to continue to do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
The people that influenced you, that mentored, that gave you that one time, the words of wisdom that stuck with you for life, you know?
Yeah.
I want, who are those people within New Zealand that gave you that fire?
Yeah, man. I mean, you got to show love to my first dance teachers, Matthew Gavitt, Fally McCarthy. They, beyond just dancing, they really invested and continue to invest a lot of time and energy into my growth, which I'm always grateful for. And Billy Pyre helped us out in the beginning stages. Alistair Salaival, he's the king.
Mm.
For me, like, Alistair is not only the best dancer, I'll say it there, but just his journey.
Yeah.
You know, there's not many of us from our generation that's still going.
Yeah.
And he's a generation above me.
Right.
So yeah, I got to show mad love to Ali. And I love his vision. I love everything that he's doing. Business-wise, Joel Gallade, what he was able to build with 888 Funk.
Yeah.
And now it's an international phenomenon, running the second biggest dance camp in the world.
That's crazy.
With Summer Dance Jam. And his business mind is something that I strive to attain. Mm-hmm. Brett Goebel.
Yeah.
That dude doesn't get enough credit, man. But he was able to... I mean, Paris, definitely. And she's going to be on this list.
Yeah.
But Brett came in and saw... business.
Yeah.
He saw a way to create an industry, and our industry is alive heavily because of Brett,
right,
and his involvement and monetizing our investments. Paris Goebel, man, like I've been there since day one with Paris. Like, yeah, she has taken our industry, our country, our dance to a whole nother level. Mm. And I, her work ethic is something that I'm so, I'm envious of, man. Yeah. Like, she's just no days off. I'm going to keep on working. And what she's able to unlock is just amazing.
Yeah.
The product, I mean, my product and her product are apples and oranges, man. Yeah. Like, I can't do what she does, and vice versa. But the work ethic that she brings to that is ridiculous.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, those would be the main ones. If I'm missing out anyone, you know, I'm sorry. But there's so many people, man. Yeah. I've been in this game for a long time.
Yeah.
I guess new gen people to watch out for.
Yeah.
The Puliyanga brothers. The Puliyanga brothers are absolutely ridiculous and just nice guys.
Yeah.
Just absolutely nice guys. And that's hard to find these days. Yeah. I'm not saying that the dance community is full of pricks, but it's hard to, like, there's not many people that want to sit down and have a beer with, you know? Like, I just want to, like, chill.
Yeah.
And the Puliyanga brothers are just, they're awesome,
awesome
leaders that are going to take this industry far. Josh Cezanne, man, dude has so much. Sorry, on the list of influencers, Andrew Cezanne is the absolute GOAT of movement, man. That dude and what he's creating with momentum is ridiculous. Sorry, back to new gen. Josh Cezanne, definitely. Corbin Hutch, ridiculous. All my young dancers at Freshmans as well, I see the work that they put in and I get inspired to keep on going. I gotta show mad love to all of my freshmen's crew.
Yeah.
Byron Fawi, Chantal Hutch, Christopher Fanoa, like these guys. Could I know that we're kind of looked at as the little group on the side.
Mm.
I know that there's the big two, there's Identity and there's RF and we're kind of on the side doing our thing.
Mm.
No hate, that's all good. But I appreciate that because I see the opportunities that they pass up to stay with Fresh.
Yeah.
And that inspires me to keep on doing what I do.
That's sick.
Yo.
Cool. So I think that's us, bro. Tell the people where they can find you. Tell them about your crew.
Yo.
What's going on with Fresh? Tell us about classes. If there's anything coming up, like, let us know.
Dope, man. Dope. Well, real quick, eventfinder.co.nz. Make sure you go and grab your tickets to Battle Zone. This Friday, Prestige versus the Brothers and a host of other battles as well.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, man. And Aftermath, which goes down on the Saturday. So if you do want to get in on some cheap-ass dance classes, $20, man, you get to learn from Prestige Dance Crew, get to learn from Royal Family, get to learn from Chris Tiava and the Crump community, man. Like, and there's still more to be announced as well. So make sure. And if you do want to keep posted with Freshmans, then make sure you check out our website, www.freshmans.org. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up on Instagram. Cheeky like and a cheeky share. Won't go too far either. Yo.
Where can they find you?
So you can find me on Facebook. Just search up Hads. That's my entertainment page or my MCing page. So you can find me there. I'm based down at Zeal, 20 Alderman Drive in Henderson. We're open every day, so come on down, have a coffee with me, have a milkshake. Or if you are wanting to get into the performing arts, I also work at Excel School of Performing Arts. Sick. We will be taking enrollments really, really soon. It is a great way to kickstart your performing arts career.
Awesome. Cool. So that's us. That's us at me and my mates.
Yo.
Thank you, Heads, for being with me today.
Awesome, brother.
I appreciate your time.
Awesome,
and that's us. Peace.
Peace.